Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. These are the very words of the living God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. In Him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory. Church, would you join me in prayer, please? Father, today You are truly the Father of promises. And Lord Jesus, today through Your very Spirit, would You show us that You are the greatest promise, that no one else can make the promises You do and keep them, so that people like us who are so prone to wander from You know that we have a secure and safe place. You are our hope always. And so we ask You to do that today for Your church, Lord, that You would be glorified in Your great name. Amen. Amen. Would you be seated, please? Well, in case you don't know me, I'm Steve Thompson. I have the privilege of serving as one of the elders here at La Crescent Evangelical Free Church. And along with that privilege comes the opportunity to preach. So with Pastor Dan taking a few days off, I've been given that wonderful opportunity. I would like to preface this sermon with the fact that our text today, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14, is like a mountain of gold. And in this span of time here in the sermon, it would be like taking a teaspoon, and that would be all we're going to get. There's so much glory, so much majesty, so much beauty. We just can't get it all today. So I would encourage all of us to read Ephesians 1, 3 through 14, the beauty and the majesty of who God is in His promises in Christ. And so today's title of the message is The Promises We Have in Christ Alone. And you've probably heard the sayings, a promise made is a promise kept. Or, a promise is only as good as the one who makes it. Now, there is some truth in that saying, in those sayings, but there's only one person who keeps all of their promises all of the time. There's only one person whose promises are always good and right and perfect. And in fact, He is the greatest promise, and that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible is full of God's promises, and Scripture states that all of them find their yes in Him, in Christ. And in fact, if you were listening closely to our text that I just read a few moments ago, the words in Christ, in Him, in the Beloved, or through Jesus Christ were used 11 times. That shows us the importance for us to realize that God's promises are only and always found in Christ alone. So today, we're going to take a look at four promises from Ephesians chapter 1. In verse 3, we'll see that in Christ, the believer has every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Verse 7, in Christ there is redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Verse 11, that in Christ we've obtained an inheritance reserved in heaven. And verse 13, the believer, the one secure in Christ, is sealed by God with the promised Holy Spirit. And I'd like to caution us not to focus so much on the promises, but on the one who gives the promises, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in addition to that, it should be noted that these promises can only be claimed exclusively by the believer in Christ. So what does that mean to be in Christ? In Christ means to believe on Jesus' name, to receive Him as Lord and Savior. And as Pastor Dan puts it, to cross that line of faith, to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it means to be in Christ. It's the foundation of the Christian life. To be in Christ is to be in the family of God. If you are in Christ, then you are a son or a daughter of the living God. What an assurance. What a security that is. That's really good news, and it's all rooted and established in the Lord Jesus. Last week, Pastor Dan preached in his series on 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7. He focused on one of the truths in verse 7 that says, love hopes all things. And one of the main points was that hope is not to be found in our circumstances changing, but hope is in God and His promises in Christ alone. So in this message, we're going to take a look at those four promises we have in Christ alone as cited in today's text. So in verse 3, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. A lot of times we think of earthly blessings, don't we? Things like good food, good health, faithful friends, and a loving family. But we have spiritual blessings too. And that's what we're talking about in verse 3 here. The focus being on these spiritual blessings God promises in Christ are pardon from sin, peace with God, redemption through His blood, adoption into God's family, and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And here's something that's very important for us to realize, that as believers in Christ, we are all promised these spiritual blessings because we are all justified by faith in Christ alone. In addition, these promises are for now. It's not just something in the future. It's for right now, today. And also, think about this. All of the promises, whether you're a baby in Christ or a seasoned saint, all of those promises are for you in Christ. The book of Romans describes this well. In Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, the Apostle Paul writes, inspired by God, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Another verse from Romans in chapter 5, verse 1. Take a look at this. God says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Charles Spurgeon, a preacher back in the 1800s in England, expounded upon that in his morning by morning daily devotional on the fact that all of those who are in Christ are justified the moment they believe. And all of those who are in Christ have all of the promises that God has made. Spurgeon says it this way: the thief on the cross was justified the moment that he turned the eye of faith to Jesus. The aged Paul, after years of service, was not more justified than was the thief with no service at all. We are today accepted in the Beloved, today absolved from sin, today acquitted at the bar of God. A person is justified by faith alone, in Christ alone, through God's grace alone, because of the blood of Jesus, which offers redemption and forgiveness of sins. To put it simply, the blood of Jesus makes the difference. And that brings us to verse 7. That in Christ we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. To be redeemed means to gain or regain possession, to be purchased for a price. If you are in Christ, you're not your own. You were bought with a price. And a great example of this in the Bible, of being redeemed, is in the book of Ruth. And you probably know this story. Boaz purchases a field from Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, in order to perpetuate the lineage of Ruth's deceased husband. Ruth became the bride of her kinsman redeemer, Boaz. He purchased her to be his own. And in the same way, if you're in Christ, Jesus is your kinsman redeemer because he purchased you to be his own with his precious blood. You belong to Christ. You are his bride. You are in his family, a son or a daughter of the living God, a faith family, brothers and sisters in Christ. And this purchase also fulfills what the Scripture says, that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, God says this: indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. In God's plan, the shedding of Jesus' blood and forgiveness is tied together. To be forgiven of sin is to have the blood of Jesus applied to the doorposts of your life. Did you ever think about that, church? It means to be protected from the wrath of God. A good example of this is in the book of Exodus, when we read about the Passover, as the Israelites left Egypt. And the blood of a sacrificial lamb promised God's people that death would pass over them. Here's what Exodus chapter 12, verse 13 says. Listen closely. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Has the blood of Jesus been applied to the doorpost of your life? Do you have the assurance that God's wrath has passed over you because the blood of Jesus covers your life? If you have, then death and sin have no power over you. That's really good news. But there's more. you also have the promise of a wonderful inheritance in Christ, reserved in heaven. And it brings us to verse 11, which says, in Christ we've obtained an inheritance reserved in heaven. A person who is in Christ obtains an inheritance because God determined it that way before the foundation of the world. God gives an inheritance to those whom He adopted into His family according to His purposes. Inheritance is all about family. An inheritance is a gift that isn't merited. You don't work for your inheritance. It's based on the fact that you're a member of a family. I'm in the Thompson family, so my inheritance is solely based on me being a son in that family. In God's family, your inheritance is guaranteed by the Holy Spirit. He, the Holy Spirit, is your guarantee, and there is no better guarantee than that. And listen to what Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 say about that. That's in our text today. It says, in Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory. And this same theme is in Galatians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Listen to this. And because you are sons, and by the way, in Scripture, when it says that, it means sons and daughters in Christ. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. And if an heir through God, what does that inheritance look like? Scripture says it is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. Church, you hear that? This means that your inheritance is reserved for you. It is pure and it will not change. It will not fade away. It's kept in heaven just for you, believer. A while back, John Young, one of our elders, preached on this inheritance in Christ. And his text was from 1 Peter chapter 1. And I'd like to read here from about the second half of verse 3 into verse 4 of 1 Peter chapter 1. It says, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Your inheritance is reserved in heaven, believer, reserved for you, waiting there until you acquire possession of it. And your name is written there too. God guarantees it. When I was growing up in the 1960s as a kid, when our family would come to a hotel and you checked in, there was this big book and it had all the names registered in it for the guests who would be staying there. And so you would come up to the desk. Mr. Thompson, yes, we have your name written right here. We're glad you're here. Similarly, if you're in Christ, your name is written in the book of life. And that fact should bring you much joy. In fact, when the disciples, according to Scripture, it says 72 of them returned to Jesus and they were overjoyed that demons were subject to them in Jesus' name. And Jesus said, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. That's really good news, church. But there's bad news too. In the book of Revelation, it states, "And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. But nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life." Think about this. Your name is no less important to God than those in the Bible. Names like Daniel, Esther, Ruth, Peter, Lydia, Paul. And again, Spurgeon gives a great example of this in his morning by morning devotional about God's love being equally as great and deep for all members of the family. Here's what Spurgeon says. "Peter and Paul, the highly favored apostles, were of the family of the Most High, and so are you also. The weak Christian is as much a child of God as the strong one. All the names are in the same family register. One may have more grace than another, but God, our Heavenly Father, has the same tender heart toward all." So being in the family of God means that a person belongs to God, which also means their life has been sealed for all eternity. What does that mean to be sealed by God? And that brings us to verse 13. That in Christ, a person is sealed by God with the promised Holy Spirit. In the context of this verse, sealed means that you have received the seal of approval to God by being in Christ. Think of it like an official document, such as a birth certificate. That document is sealed, signifying that it's official. It's official. It's a done deal. Nothing can change the fact that if you are in Christ, you are sealed by God today, tomorrow, and for all eternity. And as mentioned earlier, He, the Holy Spirit, is the one who seals the deal for the person who trusts in Christ. He, the Holy Spirit, is the guarantee. Nothing can change that fact. Nothing at all. So as we start wrapping this up and putting it all together, I want us to see that there's no doubt that God is the one who is faithful to keep His promises. All of the promises of God find their yes in Jesus. Take a look at this. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 20 through 22. Pastor Dan spoke on this last week. It says, "For all the promises of God find their yes in Him. That is why it is through Him that we utter our amen to God for His glory. And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us, and who has also put His seal on us and given His Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee." If you go out this week and you were to share with a friend or a family member Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14, and they might look at you when, if you're reading to them, and say, "Well, what's this thing about having every spiritual blessing? Is that really right?" And you could say, "Yes." And how about this part about having redemption through the blood of Christ, the forgiveness of sins? Is that really true? And you could say, "Yes." And also, this thing about an inheritance reserved in heaven, that seems so far-fetched. Is that really right? And you could say, "Yes." And how about this seemingly impossible thing that a person called the Holy Spirit is the one who seals you? He was your guarantee. Can that be so? And you could say, "Yes." And it's all because of Jesus. So what are some of the implications and applications of these promises? For those of us who trust Jesus, what difference do the promises of God in Christ alone make? When life is difficult and it beats and batters us, like the unrelenting power of hurricane force wind and waves, do we really trust God to make good His promises? I experienced that this summer where God allowed me to visit with people in the final days of their life. It was really hard to see them that way. But I got to pray with them, I got to laugh with them, and I got to cry with them. One was a pastor who preached the gospel for over half a century. One was an uncle who is remembered from my childhood. One was a dear little lady who treasured the gospel and lived 101 years. And one was a dear man who asked hard questions about truths in the Bible. It was hard to see them in their old age, some struggling with debilitating effects of cancer. As I thought about that, it brought me to the fact that I cannot change the circumstances of the last season of life, but I can trust in the one and only God who keeps His promises. As the Good Shepherd, Jesus promised that those who are trusting Him need not be afraid in the valley of the shadow of death, because He will be with us. His rod and His staff will comfort us. Psalm 23, verse 4. You know that one. In Hebrews, as the great high priest, Jesus promised eternal life for all who embrace the gospel as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. Church, what wonderful promises are found in Christ alone. But I have to ask the question, but what about those who aren't in Christ, who are not trusting in Jesus? It's a sobering message, but this is what Scripture says, that there will be an eternal separation from God, weeping and gnashing of teeth in hell forever. Not trusting Jesus is like being in the calm of an eye of a hurricane, falsely believing that all is well when all around is death and destruction. In spite of that sobering truth, God's Word says that nothing is too difficult for Him. No one or no situation is beyond His reach. He has provided the only way to be rescued from sin and death, and that's through trusting Jesus alone. Just as a secure shelter promises a safe haven in a storm, Jesus is the only secure shelter promising safe haven in all things on earth and in heaven. He truly is the greatest promise. And there's another thing about Jesus being the greatest promise. The fact that the Holy Spirit, He propels us toward loving Him, toward loving others more than ourselves. And that's why here at La Crescent Evangelical Free Church, we have ways to connect and grow and serve. Such things as Sunday school classes, as well as women's and men's ministries, small groups, and prayer meetings. And those are not a lot of things that we have to do. We don't have to do those. We should be thinking of it in this way. We get to do those. And so I ask the question today, church. do we find the Lord Jesus' love for us, His church, so great that we are compelled to be connecting and growing and serving within these walls and outside these walls as well? Or are we just content to attend, listen, and then leave? Here's some final thoughts on the promises that are in Christ alone. Listen closely. If you're in Christ, your place is secure in Him forever, in spite of yourself. In other words, in spite of feeling worthless when you're depressed, Christ holds you securely to Himself. In spite of inappropriate thoughts, words, or actions toward others, Jesus doesn't give up on you. Even on your worst day, when you don't even think you're a Christian, God has secured your life in Christ by His great grace and mercy. Even on your worst day, on my worst day, we have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. We have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. We've obtained an inheritance reserved in heaven and have been sealed by God with His Holy Spirit. So why does God give these undeserved, incomprehensibly wonderful promises? Let's take a look at what it says in our text from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 6, about the second half of verse 7, and then all of verse 8. Listen closely. These promises are to the praise of His glorious grace with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. And then the second half of verse 7, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. All of these promises are to the praise of God's glorious grace and according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. The word lavish means an outpouring, an overabundance. That's what the promises are in Christ. They are lavished upon the believer, upon the person secure in Him. That's our God. That's our good, good Heavenly Father. That's good news. That's the gospel. And so, in order to help us trust and treasure that the Lord Jesus is the greatest promise, I'd like to conclude this message with the first verse of a contemporary worship song titled, In Christ Alone. In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, and my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled and strivings cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. Let's pray. Father God, today we have sung about these promises. We hear in Your Word these promises. And every word of Yours, Father, is a promise that finds its yes in You, Lord Jesus. So, Holy Spirit, as You continue to guide and guard and humble Your church in a messed up world with messed up people like us, we can truly say we are grateful that in Christ You are our greatest promise. We are safe and secure in you alone. Thank you, Jesus, for that promise. Amen.